Singing in church is not simply praise. One of the very important things, if you read the Psalms, they are not just praise songs. They are songs of affirmation. Does everybody understand the word affirmation? Where we affirm, corroborate, confirm, state and restate truth. And we encourage one another by the singing, by the affirming of truth. And this is one of the areas where, unfortunately, sometimes some churches can go astray, where they think that singing is simply for praising. It is also for affirming the truth of God, confessing it, confession of the truth. Reaffirming the truth, like in that song we just sang, "Come thou fount of every blessing." That is a song to God. That's actually a prayer. Take my heart and seal it. Seal it from thy courts above. That was the last stanza. Take my heart, O Lord, and seal it. Seal it from thy courts above. So there are some songs that are songs of prayer. I don't know if you know a song when we were together, some of us this morning. A song was in my mind about breathe on me breath of God. Do you know that one? Fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love, and do what thou wouldst do. It's a song to the Holy Spirit. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew. And this connects up with what I want to speak to you about this evening, continuing the theme of communion with God. The wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. The tremendous activity of the Holy Spirit. Again, in the time that some of us had together this morning, I had this prophetic word in my heart. I never brought it out because opportunity just wasn't there. But you must, as a church, covet to prophesy, covet to bring expression, articulate truth as you're together in songs, in hymns, in prophecies, in prayers. And one of the great secrets of vibrant church life is the fact that things get sparked off. Do you understand what I mean? That someone over there sings a song, or the song leader leads us in a song, and if he or she is sensitive, they are aware that it's sparked off someone over there, and they pray. And they pray something that has been just quickened by something in that song. And then that they pray, this is how meetings can be, that someone over there is quickened, the Spirit of God is quickened in them, and he gives them a prophetical utterance to edify, to encourage the church. And they prophesy, and that quickens somebody else over there, and they have a scripture that is laid on their heart, and they stand up and speak the scripture. And so, before you know it, five people have participated in the meeting with intelligence, with utterance, and this is the kind of life that we can know in our gatherings. And it's much richer, it can be much richer than just coming and listening to someone like me. There's a place for people like me in God's church. There's a place for these ministries, but we have to learn to edify one another by the blessed action of the Holy Spirit. And somehow we have to facilitate meetings like that. We have to facilitate. We have to be sensitive. And I had this prophetical utterance in my heart this morning. Just about, we had a lovely time for about 20 minutes, it was actually led by Paul, and he led us in some songs. And was it Paul or was it Joshua? I can't remember. Joshua, I beg your pardon. It was Joshua. And but the Lord was present. The Lord was there. His Spirit was among us. And I was just so aware that the Lord wanted to say to us that your inward man needs to be renovated. Your inward man needs to be, you know, I can't even remember the exact word he used. But he was showing to me again the value of simply being in the state. We sang that song. Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed. Do you know that song? And it's, I know that I'll be changed by the power of your love. And I personally don't like the next line or two, hold me close, it's too lovey-dovey. So, you know, I tend to change a couple of lines and sing my own version. There's a little bit more robust, you know. So I don't sing hold me close. The second little bit where it says, hold me close, let your love surround me, I change it to where, and I say, let your love enfold me. It's much more solid. Not surround me, enfold me. You know, God isn't a surrounder that goes and you all feel surrounded. He's an enfolder. Right? You see? I mean, you understand what I mean. Do you understand the difference, even in the English language, of that? Let your love surround me. But let your love enfold me. His arms are right around you. And he's got hold of you. And we were singing this. And then it says, you know, bring me near. Draw me to your side. And as I wait, I'll rise up like the eagle. And I will soar with you. This is communion. Your spirit leads me on by the power of your love. And, you know, to be someone, as you wait, the Spirit of God refreshes your inward man. Do you know, you may not think that a meeting like this is of much more use than coming and listening to someone speak. You may not think that to sit quiet in the presence of God will do anything much for you. You may think it's a waste of time. There was a whole marvelous group of Christian people called Quakers, and they were famous for meeting in silence. And unless someone was moved, they all sat in silence. I've been in Quaker meetings. My wife went to a Quaker school. And you may think it's a waste of time, but to wait on God. And one of the things that happens as you are before God is that your circumstances don't change. You will go out to the same circumstances. You will go out to the same issues and problems. What will happen, without you hardly realizing, you cannot have communion with God. Communion with God does not change your circumstances. Communion with God changes you and your relationship to those circumstances. The communion with God readjusts your inward man, and not necessarily in ways that you are aware of until later. But you see, God does not promise to change your circumstances. He does promise to change you, so that you are thoroughly changed, readjusted. And of course, this is what God's Spirit wants to lead you on into, and me on into. Fellowship with God will lead to deep changes in your inward man. Instead of doubt, faith. Instead of fear, confidence. Instead of being anxious, there will be rest instead. And so that will go on and on. And your inward man will be changed in the presence of the Lord as I wait. And you see, we get these notions in our minds, I'll rise up like the eagle and have some sort, that this means that we'll kind of rise above everything. Jesus never rose above anything. He walked on things. Jesus did not float upon the water. The waves did not stop. All right? You know the story of Jesus walking on the water, don't you? Until he got in the boat, the waves didn't stop. But the waves were there and he walked on them. The wind was still blowing. Everything was still tossing all over the place. The disciples were in their fear. But Jesus was walking because he was in fellowship with the Father. And he was walking on the water, not floating above it. So rising like an eagle does not mean that you'll rise up in some kind of spiritual levitation and be sort of floating up there above everything. Rising means that in your inward man you taste resurrection life that enables you to stand on the waves and not be afraid of the winds. And the winds won't disappear necessarily immediately. Neither will the waves abate immediately. Amen. They may go on a long while, but you will be newly related to them. From your inward man, you will be newly related to them and be able in a new way. Hallelujah. This is the kind of life that the Spirit of God brings to us through the communion. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Have I said enough to... you see, what the Blessed Spirit is ceaselessly wanting to do in us, if only we will let him have that opportunity. Now, when I look in my Bible, and I want you to take you to a verse again where we were last week at the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And it's this famous verse, the closing verse of 2 Corinthians 13, where it says, verse 14, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. I want to be very simple and straightforward tonight, as best as I can be. I want you all to notice, first of all, the three persons of the Godhead in that verse. I want you all to notice that the order that they are mentioned, that in this case, it is the Lord Jesus Christ that's first, God, that is the Father, that is second, and the Spirit is last. He's mentioned finally. I want you also to all notice that this grace of our Lord Jesus, love of God, and fellowship communion of the Holy Spirit is to be... This is Paul, he's writing to the church, with you all. Not with a few of you, not with an elite of you, but this is for you all. So in writing to the Corinthian church, it was Paul's understanding that no one had a corner on this communion, on this grace. Do you understand by a corner? No one had the opportunity and everybody else was outside. This was for you all. This is for us all equally. This is something that God wants you to grow in and to know. He wants you to know that central to everything. So if you look at those three things, look at what comes first. You know, it will take you a long time to realize that everything comes from grace. Everything. That's where everything begins, with grace. Nothing ever begins with your works, with your efforts. Everything has its beginning there. I could spend a whole evening talking to you about that. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how God comes to us. That's how the love of God that's central in the trio. Is that right? Is the love of God central? The love of God that's central to everything comes to you through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't understand that the love of God is central to everything, then you're going to be in real trouble. The love of God is central to everything. Everybody's listening to me, aren't they? The love of God, not the love of Angelina Jolie for Brad Pitt or something like that. Not love that Shakespeare wrote about. Not love that's sentimental. Not love that comes from Greek ideas. The love of God is central to everything. The love of God is not like other loves. And I haven't got time to develop that. But I can say to you, it's central. That right in the midst of everything is the love of God. Always, forever. You will never meet God who is not love. Even when God is moving in judgment, it is the God of love moving in judgment. Even when God is moving in discipline, it is God, the God of love, who's moving in discipline. He is central to everything. God. And of course, there it doesn't actually mention that he's the Father. But when it says God like that in the New Testament, it almost always is referring to the Father. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is the love of God coming to you. And how does this all come to you? Through the communion of the Spirit. He is the one who is the Spirit of communion. You can't come into communion with God except through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the activity, the communion of the Holy Spirit. I cannot come into communion with God except the Spirit of God. And always, he's the Spirit of fellowship. He's the Spirit of, I want you to commune into my Father, into the Father and the Son. That's the Spirit. I want you to be clean. I want to change you so that, this is his whole heart, I want to lead you into the communion with the Father and with the Son. That's the Spirit. I want you to participate in the life of the Father and the Son. I want you to participate. That's the whole longing, work, desire of the Spirit of God, because he's the Spirit of fellowship. Amen? It's good, isn't it? You have a friend. You have a helper. You have someone ever near. You have someone, if you are the Lord's, indwelling you, who is the Spirit that wants to lead you into deepening fellowship with the Father and the Son. Amen? Tell me, can anybody here, you all know actually the answer to this, concerning the Holy Spirit, is he afraid of darkness? No. Why do you say that? Because the first time in your Bible he appears, he's right there in darkness. Is that right? Brooding in darkness. He's not afraid of darkness. He's not afraid of difficulty. He's not afraid. Amen. And this is one of the marvelous things that I have learned about the Holy Spirit, is his immanence. You know, he's near. His presence. Tremendous thing. Now, the communion of the Holy Spirit, do you believe it's for you all? Or do you really believe that some people will, well, they've earned more? Do you think that you will earn something? Because, you know, it's amazing how we are affected by the idea that, well, I won't experience the communion of God and communion with God unless I do this. And if I do this, more and more and more and more, I'll be rewarded with communion. Everything begins with this grace. Not by you earning it. So if you, well, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. And if I do it enough, you know, if I develop this technique, if I go to this place, then I'll earn enough brownie points in the presence of God, and then I'll get this precious communion. This is free gift. This is grace. Hallelujah. Now, if you go back in 1 Corinthians this time, so this is the first letter of Corinthians, and have a look in chapter 1, and we'll come across our word fellowship or communion again. All right? Verse 9, chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful. That's God the Father again, all right? Everyone listening, just in case you think that Jesus calls you, that things began with Jesus. Now, we've got everything beginning with God. That's God the Father. See, I'm going to show you something about this life into which we're to commune, you see. Now, in the last list we saw, am I right saying that there were the three persons mentioned and that Jesus was mentioned first? And God was in the middle and the Holy Spirit was mentioned last. Now, we're just going to see two of the persons of the Godhead mentioned in this verse. Who's mentioned first? God the Father. Not God the Son. God the Father's mentioned first. That's interesting, isn't it? Apparently, in the community, see, And I want you to really think about this. When you talk about communion with God, do you think about a feeling? What is communion with God? Let me be very practical to you. What is really the experience that you have when you joined this church? Are you really joined to this church? Are you really joined to it? You say, what do you mean? Well, are you really participating in one another's lives? Are you really participating, sharing with one another in one another's lives? You say, that's impossible. There's too many. Well, with some then. So that you're really sharing in the community of the English congregation of Gateway Church, or the BM congregation of Gateway Church, or whatever church you come from. Are you really sharing, participating in the life of the community? You see, because that's what communion is. When you talk about communion, it's not something ethereal. It is participating in the life of another. How many of you married couples are really a community? A community of two. And if you've got one or two children, a community of three, four. Are you islands? Does the wife live her life? Now, I'll say something to you that I hope it doesn't offend anybody here. But a marriage that says this, where the husband says, this is mine. And the wife says, and this is mine, is not a marriage. A husband saying, oh, this is mine. This is mine. And she is over against him, and she's standing over here. She said, no, this is mine. And a marriage that says, now, our marriage is a partnership. Now, you do this bit, and I'll do this bit, and it'll all work out very well. This is my bit, and this is your bit. That's not community. That's not marriage. That's not love. Marriage is our. Without you losing I and I. Am I making sense? The wife is still I. The husband is still I. But they are a we of two I's. And we. And in that we, she does her I things. And in that we, he has his I responsibilities. Am I making sense to you? Because there's a lot of nonsense talked about marriage as a partnership. You won't find it in the Bible. Marriage is union. Marriage is I. In the context of we. Now, bring that over into community in the church. I think the church should be like this. You see, you don't lose your I, but if you're living in the community of the church, you're conscious of we. We. You're sharing we with one another. You're entering into community. You see, communion brings you into the community. God, that's God the Father in this verse, on that screen, he has done what? He's called you into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, how can God possibly call you into somewhere where he's not? You see, God's already in the fellowship with his Son. He and his Son are the original community by the Holy Spirit. And the wonderful thing that God has done and is doing to you tonight and will do to you tomorrow and he will do to you to the day following and as long as you live, he will call you to share in the community that he enjoys with his Son, into the fellowship that he, in a prior way, has been enjoying with his Son for eternity. Is that right? God can only call you to where he is already. God the Father is faithful and he's calling you, and you were called into the fellowship of his Son. The Father's saying to you, come and live where I live. That's right. That's what the Father's saying to you. That's what he's calling you into. Come and live where I live. Come and live with the persons that I live with. He's not calling you to come and live with angels. He's calling you to come and live with his Son. To become intimate with his Son. Like the Father is intimate with his Son. He's calling you to share in the communal life of the Godhead. That's the thing. God is saying, come where I am. Come where I am. Come and live in fellowship with my Son like I do. And if we wanted to say it this way, Jesus, of course, who doesn't call you into fellowship with himself, he's the person, and he says to you, come and through me, come into the fellowship that I'm having fellowship with. Come into fellowship with the person that I'm having fellowship with. Who's that? The Father. Jesus is the through person. He says, come unto me, and come not only unto me, but as you come unto me, through me, I'm going to bring you into the fellowship that I know with my Father. You see, this is what the Christian life is all about. Imagine the kind of changes that you will undergo in your inner man if you spent a lot of time with the Father and the Son. Tell me some of the changes that would happen to you if you spent a lot of time with the Father and Son. And you walked day by day in the consciousness of the Father and the Son. Well, you'd be conscious of what the Father's doing. You'd be conscious of the Father's love. You'd be conscious of his attitudes toward the world. You'd be renewed. You'd be changed. You wouldn't be able to retain bitter thoughts in your heart. You wouldn't be able... If you had a lot of fellowship with the Father and the Son... Could you walk around with an attitude of unforgiveness to one member of your family? Could you? Of course not. Why not? Because God is the fountain of forgiveness. And you spend time walking with your Father and with the Son. You're walking. No, when you walk with the Son, you understand that the Son is the one with the wounded hands and the open side, who says, forgive, 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 I've forgiven. So if you walk with the Father and the Son, can you, and really are in the community with them and really communing with them, you're communing into their forgiveness. And what will that do to your inner man, into your thinking? My, oh my. It will change your whole attitude to one another. You'll be forgiving. You can't live in the community and you can't spend time in the communion and walk on in the communion without becoming forgiving. It rubs off. I say it rubs off. That's a horrible way to put it, isn't it? It doesn't rub off. Of course it doesn't. You become like him. You become like him. Hallelujah. Yeah, you can't retain bitter attitudes to people, even though you've been wronged. Tell me, if you spend time, tell me of all of the, well, of course, God's not a creature. God's not a creature, is he? He's the creator. But of all the persons, of all the creatures, of all the beings, tell me, who's been most wronged? Who's been most wronged? Who's been most sinned against? Who's been most wounded? Come on, tell me. Go on. And yet he who's been most wounded, most wronged, most sinned against is the fountain of forgiveness. And you spend time with him, you'll find you lose all excuses to in any way be unforgiving. It's what communion is, you see. You lose all excuses. There, what did we sing in that song? They will be swept away by the power of your love. Jeff Bullock, the Australian, wrote, what will be swept away by the power of his love? Do you remember in the song? How does it go? Lord, how does it go? Come on. La, la, da, 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 da. That's not the one, is it? I'm making Joshua work hard. He's digging around on the electronic wonder. And let my heart be changed. I see the weaknesses will be stripped away by the power of your love. Much more than weaknesses. Let me put names on the weaknesses, shall I? The sinfulnesses would be better. The sinful attitude will be swept away by the power of his love. You live in communion with God, and I tell you, you can't keep excusing and say, well, they hurt me terribly, and therefore I'm going to... My father did this to me. My mother did that to me. My grandfather, and my boss, my employer, he... You see, communion with God will bring you into the realm of the power of his love, and those attitudes will be stripped away. That's what communion is. Communion is real. Communion brings about change. Communion with God means eating and drinking into the life of the community, into the thought of the community. Hallelujah. I don't know if you know anything about monks. There was a time in my life when I thought it would be a good idea to become a monk. It seemed to me a very quiet life. And I thought I might try and join a monastery. Then I met Hazel. But anyway. But the thing is, you know, when these men in those days joined monasteries, and even today, they join a certain order, a monastic order, and they turn their back on their old life, and they make their way in, and they become accepted into the disciplines of that order. They get rid of their old clothing, and they put on a habit. It's called a habit, isn't it? Some of the habits are of different colours. I'm not an expert, but I do know that the Cistercian order wear a kind of pale kind of habit with a rope round the middle, and they have a hood that they pull up. They're the original hoodies. If you know anything about hoodies, you know, young people in England and the States love to put hoods up on their heads. Anyway, these monks, they're the originals, but they wear these habits and they adopt certain orders. There is an order of silence where you're not allowed to say anything at table. You sit there all and eat your meal, and it's an order of silence. No talking. So you have to keep your eyes open to see the need of the other person. He needs the salt. Or here you'd say, you know, the chili patty. He needs some... You know what I'm saying? You'd have to be seeing all this. And you accept the laws and the principles of the community, the habits of prayer. Some of the habits of prayer, they have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and spend an hour in some of the orders. You see, and this is the thing, they've adopted, they've entered into the life of that community. Now, communion is entering into the life of the community of the Father and the Son. God the Father calls you in to the fellowship with the Son. He says, come and meet my Son. Come and see my Son. Come and know my Son. Come and understand my Son. Come and enjoy my Son. Come and see what my Son has done. Come and see the glory of my Son. Come and share. And the Son says to you, through me, I will bring you to the Father so you can see the wonders of the care of my Father. What a shepherd it is. You understand that David wasn't the one who wrote, the Lord's my shepherd? Not first. It was Jesus in David that wrote about his Father and said, the Lord, that's my Father, is my shepherd. Do you understand that? That in eternity, Father has been Jesus, has been shepherd. And when Jesus became man and came down onto this earth, of course he wasn't called Jesus, was he? He was called the Son of God. When he became man, he was called Jesus. Is that right? And of course, then he was able to say, even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death. It's wonderful. And Jesus says, if you live in communion with me, I'll bring you through to the Father, and you'll come to know the life of the Father. I hope this doesn't sound peculiar to you. Because this is what the Christian life is really all about. It's walking with the Father and with the Son by the Holy Spirit. And with walking with one another in the community. You've all been called into this community. Don't be surprised then if you are being encouraged by the Lord to forgive, to repent, to love one another. All right. Can anybody think of a book in the New Testament where Jesus is talked about a lot in his life on the earth, and he says lots and lots of things about his relationship with his Father? He keeps on calling him Father, Father, Father. Everybody here knows there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Everyone knows that. You know, in that Gospel of John, you find right from the beginning, it's all about the Son with the Father and the Father with the Son. The Son with the Father and the Father with the Son. And they come along and they talk to Jesus and they say, why are you doing this? Well, it's not really me doing it. It's my Father in me. It's my Father that's doing the works. And the things that I'm saying, it's not my words. It's my Father's words. I'm filled with my father's words. How did he get filled with his father's words? Because he was living in communion with his father. You see, in the communion with his father, he got the father's burdens in his heart. That's, of course, the secret of evangelism. The secret of serving is the communion with the Father will put the Father's cares into your heart. And your care for people. Now, in the community of the Godhead, I mean, once you get in there and have a look at the community of the Godhead, especially as it's revealed in the Gospel of John, because the community of the Godhead took on a new venue. You see, the unseen Father now became visible in his Son. And if you had eyes to see the Son and listen to what the Son was saying, you could see the outlines of the relationship that was existing before time ever began between the Father and the Son and was now visible in a human being, in Christ. And you would have known this, for instance, because Jesus said it in John's Gospel. You would have seen that Jesus knew that his Father wanted to glorify him. You see, in the community of the Godhead, does everybody understand this? Each of them wants to glorify the other. Glorify. Now, the Son didn't want to glorify himself. And the Father didn't want to glorify himself. Jesus said, Father, Father, glorify me. I've been living here to glorify you. And of course, this is life in the community, you see. This is why you live in communion with God more and more. And you can't have a down on anybody. Because you live to glorify one another. That'll sort you out. Yeah. I mean, do you know my wife? She spends a lot of time trying to encourage me. In a way, she tries to glorify me. She doesn't think I'm wonderful because she knows I'm not. But there is a sense. And of course, the more I know her, the more I spend time with her, the more I want to glorify her, not put her down. You see, you live in the communion with God and you want to glorify one another. Husbands, glorify your wives. Wives, glorify your husband. The appropriate, the right glory. You understand what I mean? In the church, you live in the communion with Godhead. You'll glorify one another. You won't put one another down. See, this will be your experience. You'll learn this. Wow. Oh, Father, glorify me. And the Father says, I will glorify you, Son. I'll glorify you. I'll pour out my power and I'll raise you from the dead and I'll glorify you. I'll lift you up. I'll lift you up. I won't put you down. I won't crush you. I'll lift you up. Living, glorifying one another. If you look in John's Gospel, you'll find another word. The way that the Father and the Son are. And it's a word a little bit similar. Jesus said, I honour the Son. I honour the Father. And the Father says, I honour the Son. I honour them. Honour. Hallelujah. I honour. Do you know, I had an interesting experience the last day or two. I bought a pair of trousers in England. And they were too long. And I thought, well, I want to wear them in Malaysia. So I'll take them to Malaysia and I'll get a tailor to shorten them. It's very simple. I knew there were tailors here. Okay. And I found a tailor up in Makota Parade, and I went in there very hurriedly, and it was a Chinese lady, in the back of a shop, and I laid the trousers out, and I got the rule, and I, you know, her tailor's chalk, and I measured 29 and a half inches inside leg, which is what I knew I am, and I went with the thing. And she said, come back 10 minutes. You see, 10 minutes. And so I had to do something else. And about 3/4 of an hour later, I got back. And there were four Chinese ladies in there. And she told me the price. I knew it was double what she'd charge anybody else. But I didn't argue. I knew she was taking advantage of me. I knew she wasn't honoring me. And they all laughed when I took my wallet out and gave the 6 ringgits. I knew it was probably only 3, but 6. The day before, I've got a pair of sandals that I bought in Shah Alam a year or two ago. They're very nice sandals, but they hurt me, and I knew it was because they were loose. And I knew they needed new holes in, you know, the strap. So I was walking around, and I found two, I don't know what nationality they are, I think they're Malay, men sitting on the side fixing shoes. And I showed these two things, and I said, more holes. He said, oh, you know, nice, lovely sandals, where did you get these? In Europe? I said, no, in Shah Alam, they're made in Malaysia. He said, they're all very good. I said, yes, and they were a good price too. Very strong. And it took him about 5 minutes and he made these holes. And I said to him, how much? And he said, oh, no, nothing. Nothing. He honored me. And then I honored him. I want to give you something. And I gave him something. He honored me. You see, you've got to live. In the Godhead, they're ever honoring one another. The Son honors the Father as Father. You see, that Chinese lady was good business. She was dishonoring me. Let's take advantage of this Matt Sali. You know. But let these things, you see, beloved, you've got to be more Christian than Chinese. Much more Christian. Mm-hmm. You see, one of the things about business, if you're not careful, you can cross the line into dishonoring the very people that you're serving. And in the church, you can cross the line and begin to dishonor one another. And you're no longer honoring one another. And this, beloved, you live in communion with the Father and with the Son. I tell you, you can't long live with an attitude that dishonors your brother and your sister. Because God, His Spirit, will change what you are. You'll be renewed. And that renewal will go on and on and on. And you'll honor. And you think about this between male and female, where the men honor the women and the women honor the men. You know that if you commune with this world and keep drinking into its spirit, keep eating its bread, that means eating its attitudes, eating, you know what it'll do for you, don't you? It'll make the women dishonor the men because that's the bread they eat in this world. In their community, they dishonor. The women dishonor the men, and the men abuse the women. Isn't this right? Advertisements. Surely you know that Western advertising in particular is constantly dishonoring the woman. She's just a usable commodity, a body. Beautiful. Or a nice face. Dishonor. You can't live in the community with the Godhead. and communion with God and walk with God without these attitudes in you changing. The Father honours the Son. The Son honours the Father. Do you know, another thing, if you read in John's Gospel, you'll find that the Father serves the Son. And the Son serves the Father. You know, we talk about deacons, because deacon means servant, doesn't it? Beloved, you can't long live in communion with God without becoming a servant in the church. Serving one another. Serving. Hallelujah. I keep coming down there because there's something in me that doesn't like standing above. I never have liked it. Sometimes it's necessary. But I want to get near. I believe God wants to get near. I believe He wants to lead us into a life where we serve Him and one another. And where in this communion with God, we become servants. And we're not forever talking about apostles, prophets, evangelists, this ministry, that ministry, and I'm a this, and I'm a that. No, we live serving. We live serving. You cannot live with God. You say, but I haven't got great gifts. I tell you, you learn to serve. I remember a lady many, many years ago, and I was speaking about a remote part of India, and a certain man who was ministering in that certain part of India. And unknown to me, as I spoke about this man, God put it into the heart of a woman who had an unsaved husband, a married woman who had an unsaved husband, who had no job. She had no job. And her husband never gave her any money. And God put it into her heart that she wanted to give money to this man in India. She wanted to support him in India. Next year, I went and spoke in that conference. And this lady, I hardly knew, she came up to me and she put in my hands £100. She said, I want you to give that to Peter Rapgay. That was the name of the man up in this remote part of India. I want you to take that, change it, and give it to India, to Peter Rapgay. You talked about him last year. I've prayed for him every day. I said, how did you get the money? She said, I got cloth. I bought some cloth. I found some old cloth, and I made tea towels. And I went around and sold tea towels. I made them nice. As best I could, I embroidered them a little bit, and through the year I sold them to people up and down the street. And this is the money that I got from making and selling these tea towels. She served. Don't you think that the Lord, the Father and the Son thought that was wonderful? Don't you think that £100 was much more valuable in God's eyes than, you know, we've got 5,000 in our pocket. And we just give. You know what I'm getting at? She served. But whether you have much, whether you have little, whether you have no great gifts, beloved, I want you to know that the community of the Godhead is a community of mutual service, where they are serving one another, caring for one another, ministering to one another within those limitations that they have. The Father is Father, and He serves the Son as a Father. Serves a son. The Son is not the Father, so He doesn't try and serve the Father like a father. He serves the Father like a son should serve the Father. Are you understanding me? We are all different. We are not all fathers. We are not all sons. We are not all this. We are all not all that. We are not all identical. But within what we are to commune into this life of service. And this is the secret of vibrancy in a church, you see. And beloved, it's not only serving, because as I look carefully in my New Testament, I will discover that the life between the Father and the Son was a life of giving. Where the Father gave to the Son. I give this to you and the Son. See, well, the Father, you know that the Son, when He prayed in John 17, He said, Oh, Father, all these that you've given me, I've kept. I've kept them. You gave them me, and now I come to you. I give them back to you. You gave them me, I give them back to you. Their life, the life in the community of the Godhead, is a life of giving, giving, giving. And I hope that you all notice, of course, that the Son took from the Father and kept and looked after what the Father had committed to him and then gave it back. And the Father took back and received. You see, this is why, beloved, in the community of the Godhead, it's a ceaseless life of giving and receiving. And receiving and giving. Ah, wonderful flow. Giving and receiving. You see, you talk about communion. I want to have communion with God. Well, I'm telling you what it'll do to you. It'll change you like this. You spend time with him, walk with him in obedience, carry on like this, and you'll come more and more into this stupid life of giving and receiving. Stupid life. The world thinks it's stupid. You'll come into this lovely life of forgiving, of loving, of honouring one another, of giving honour, of giving honour. Do you give honour to the children? You see, if you're not careful in the church, you know, and out in the world, if you're not careful, you know, everyone's dishonouring you. You know, the way some people drive over here, they're thoroughly dishonouring. But that doesn't matter. You don't have to dishonour them. All right, come in. I don't do this well every time, but sometimes I do it all right. It's all right, if you want to come in, you come in. He's barging his way in. He's dishonouring me, but I'll honour him. Okay. I was in the hotel today. I was out. I had to go get my exercise. And I walked back. Came in through the front. And there's a glass door, and there was a Malay lady. She was coming with her headgear on, and I held the door open, and she said, and smiled at me, and said, "Oh, thank you." Yesterday, in exactly the same spot, just as I approached the glass door, another lady was coming through, and I opened the door for her, and she never said a word. Lest you think I should be racial, I won't tell you what she was. But she completely ignored me and took it as a right. Dishonor. You can't live in communion with God without coming to the place where you're changed inwardly in real ways so that you honour one another, love one another, respond to one another with service, with care, with respect. Amen. Hallelujah. And all this comes from the fellowship of the Spirit. This is the kind of thing he will write on you. This is how he'll change you. Now, some of you ought to be able to say to me this: Bernard, I know what you mean. It's been happening to me. I know what you mean. You've been changing me. God's been changing. Many of you should be able to say that. Oh, I'm not saying that you should say, I've arrived. Because the moment you say that, tomorrow something will happen and you'll find you haven't. Something will challenge you. But you should know, if the Spirit has been working in you and you've been learning to live with this glorious community of the Father and the Son. Now imagine because you're only responsible in this respect for yourself. You can't make him or her or them live in this communion. You can't make them, but you can make sure you do. In this community. You happen to be placed in this community. Now I'm using the word community first as the community of the church, and I'm using it second as the community of the society in Malacca where you're living most of your life, working your work and exercising, having your family life and everything. So I'm using the word community in those ways. First of all, if you live like this in the community of God, it will affect your communal life with your wife, with your children, and in your church. You do that, and he does that, she does that, they do that. Think of what a kind of church you'll have. And if you're all doing that in the community, around about you, in the community of your work, I know that some people will be downright rude to you. I know that they won't all respond to it. But if you live like that, I tell you, evangelism will happen. Things will change. People will be reached. Amen. It's wonderful to be in communion. Yeah? I put it very practically tonight. But this is what it's all about. Say, well, you can't say to me, well, I'm having communion with God, and yet you just go on sailing on in the same old way of complete selfishness and just wanting to hold your end up and do your thing. You live in the community with God. I'll tell you, in the Bible, there's very, very little said about leadership in the church. Very little. Did you know that? Very, very little said about leadership in the church. Do you know why? Because you don't need much when people are really living in the communion. In fact, leadership kind of only has to exercise itself a little bit when things are going wrong a little bit. Because if everybody's more and more living in the communion with God, then they're conscious of God, and just like Jesus said, the Spirit guides the church. The Spirit leads the church. God wants us to live more and more in this communion. And I come back to end where I started. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all of you. Jesus died and rose again to open a way so that we could come in to this fellowship. And God the Father comes. Isn't it marvelous? Sometimes it does us a lot of good to think of it when Paul went to Corinth. Does everybody know what Corinth was like? It was a port city that was full of uncleanness, heathen temples, pride, and the community that lived there. Some of them were Jews, and they lived isolatedly in their community. And the Greeks lived in their community. And they were just occupied with making money in their community. Homosexuality was common. In their community, sexual promiscuity was common. In their community, slander was common. In their community, this is where they'd all lived. And Paul came and spent 18 months. And as he preached the gospel and lived amongst them, God, that verse we read from chapter 1, called people into the fellowship of his Son. Now you come out of that community into the fellowship of the Son. Now, here's, c- come and live here. God calls you. And they came and they began to live in the fellowship with the Father and with the Son. What a change. The Holy Spirit came to them. Of course, they were no longer communing into the spirit of homosexuality. They were no longer communing into the spirit of greed. They were no longer communing into the spirit of slander. They were no longer eating and drinking into the spirit of the port city where they'd been raised. They were a new community because they were living in a new communion. Am I making sense? You only become a new community as you live in the new communion. And they were living in this new communion with the Father and with the Son. Hallelujah. And they were changed. And then the devil tried to stop them. And the devil tempted them. And the pulls came. And so Paul had to write to them and remind them and say, you were called into the fellowship of the Son by God. And he had to remind them. And he had to say to them, oh, real spirituality is like this and like this. And he had to tell them, real spirituality is love that never fails. He reminds them of life in the community. That's all he's doing. He said, this is who you are. You know, all I've done to you this evening is tell you who you are. Did you know that? This is who you are. This is your home. This is your community. God the Father. How many of you could put your hands up now and say, Bernard, I know something of what you're saying and I don't want to live anywhere else. I want to live more and more in the community of the Father and the Son and with everybody else who's living in the community of the Father and the Son. And I want to show a face like the Father and the Son show toward the other communities of the world. I want to show a face like that to them. How many of you could say that? I want to say to you, I don't want to live in the community of the world. I don't want to live in the community. I don't want to live in the community of tit for tat. Fight for my rights. I don't want to live in that community of tension and struggle. I want to live in this community of God, right? Some of you have been living there and tasting it, haven't you? I hope you haven't been the kind of person, and you, how many times a year do you have communion? That is the bread and the wine. Once a month? Oh, I hope that you're not like that with God. Just once a month. You know what I mean? Because that's a symbol. How many of you had your makan already before the meeting? And I bet you all had lunch too. Did you? Did you all have breakfast? Three times. And some of you greedy ones are going to go out after the meeting and get something. Four times a day. Goodness. You've been communion. You see. You sit down and have a meal with one another. You talk, you enter into communion with one another. You're in a little community. And there's conversation that goes on. And there's a spirit that's passed between you. Do you understand? And you do it often. You eat often. Eat God often. Commune with God often. Often. Not just once a month. Feed on Him. Sit at His table. Open your heart to Him. And all these things will increasingly be your experience. You'll commune into a life that honors, that glorifies, that loves, that serves, that gives, because it is how God lives. And the world will know. That's what Jesus said. And the world will know because they love one another. And they're in this incredible community. that is fed by an invisible fountain. It comes from God. Amen. Amen. Yeah? Okay. Now don't look at the person next to you and say, well, it's up to him. You just enter in more fully yourself. You say, but I'm only a little one. Aren't we all? Aren't we all? Just little ones. And this is yours. Thank you, Father, for your word tonight. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for the open side of Jesus. Thank you for your great call, our Father, that you've called us into fellowship, the fellowship of your Son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you come to lead us into fellowship with your Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the spirit of this fellowship. Now work these things out in your church, we pray. But before you can work them out in your church, you have to work them out more fully in me. Me. Hallelujah. You let God work it out in you. Glory to his name. Glory to his name.